Hello, this is Dr. Grande. Today I will analyze the case of Crystal and Stephen McDowell. First, I'll look at the background of this case, move to the timeline of the crime, then offer my analysis. Crystal Surratt McDowell was born on October 26, 1979, and lived in Baytown, Texas. This is 26 miles east of Houston. The inspiration for Crystal's name was crystal methamphetamine, which was not a good sign for her future. Her parents, Pamela and Anthony, struggled with substance use. Due to their addiction, they both died when Crystal was young, Pamela in 1993 and Anthony in 1994. Crystal claimed that, after the death of her parents, she was kidnapped, kept in a chicken coop, and later managed to escape. It's not clear how much of her story, if any, is true. What is known for certain, however, is that Crystal was raised by relatives after her parents died. Reportedly, when Crystal was a senior in high school, she became romantically involved with a woman. The relationship lasted for about 8 years. In 2006, Crystal found work as a flight attendant. In 2007, she married a man named Stephen Wayne McDowell, who went by the name Steve. He had an unstable employment history, occasionally working at a distribution center. Crystal was the breadwinner and complained that Steve would frequently buy games and toys. In 2008, the year after the couple married, Crystal filed for divorce from Steve. However, she changed her mind, and the couple remained together. They went on to have a son named Madden, and 3 years later, a daughter named Maui. During her marriage to Steve, Crystal had multiple affairs with both men and women. Steve was not happy about this, but Crystal refused to change her behavior. In 2016, Crystal became a real estate agent and experienced a decent level of success. In June 2017, she divorced her husband, Steve. This time, Crystal was serious. At around the same time, she called 911 and complained that Steve left with the children for 2 days. No charges were filed. Despite the divorce, Crystal helped Steve purchase a 2,700-square-foot house on Bay Vista Drive. She moved into the first-floor master bedroom, and Steve used a bedroom on the second floor. Crystal did not plan on living with Steve indefinitely. Her intent was to move into a 2,100-square-foot townhouse on Ward Road, but she wanted to complete some renovations first. The couple maintained an uneasy peace in the house, but disaster was creeping toward them like a storm in the distance. Now moving to the timeline of the crime. In early August 2017, Crystal McDowell found a new boyfriend named Paul Hargrave. He owned a local jewelry store. As was her typical pattern, Crystal was interested in moving the relationship forward very quickly. She invited Paul to go on a cruise with her, her two children, and her ex-husband, Steve. Paul was not on board with the idea of cruising with Steve, as that would have been extremely awkward. On August 23, Crystal told Steve that he was no longer welcome on the cruise. This was extremely upsetting to Steve. 2 days later, on August 25, 2017, not long after 7 a.m., Crystal McDowell left Paul's house and started her workday. She was scheduled to show a new construction property in Crosby, Texas, but that meeting was canceled because, on that same day, Hurricane Harvey made landfall in Texas. Family and friends lost contact with Crystal. Given that she was so erratic and unstable, no one was really alarmed at first, but when she continued to stay out of contact, people started to worry. Crystal's uncle reported her missing to the police on the next day, August 26. Investigators did not have the resources to look for Crystal due to the hurricane. Rapidly rising water meant they had to focus on rescuing people. A few days later, the police were able to start their investigation into Crystal's disappearance. Not only was she missing, so was her vehicle, a 2013 Mercedes. The police spoke to Steve, who told them that Crystal simply disappeared. He stopped hearing from her on August 25. There was no more to the story. He didn't know anything else. Investigators questioned Crystal's new boyfriend, Paul. He said that she left his house on the morning of August 25, and he wasn't able to reach her. Initially, the police believed that Crystal had met with foul play. Some officers believe Steve was involved. Others believe Paul was the likely perpetrator. Both the men had the same motive to harm Crystal, jealousy. The police received a tip that Crystal's black Mercedes was in a Motel 6 parking lot in Baytown. It was submerged in water from the recent hurricane. The doors to the vehicle were unlocked, and the keys were inside. The police believed that someone left the vehicle there hoping it would be stolen, which was not an unrealistic hope in Baytown. The area had a high crime rate. Video surveillance showed the Mercedes had been left there on August 26, 2017, at 6:37 a.m., so one day after Crystal lost contact with her family members. There was a Walmart store not far from the Motel 6. A man who looked like Steve purchased a bicycle in cash right after the car was dropped off. The same man was captured on camera riding the bicycle in the general direction of Steve's house at 7:07 a.m. About 4.5 hours later, video surveillance from a gas station next to the Motel 6 captured Steve McDowell pulling up to a pump in his Ford Mustang. Instead of fueling his vehicle, he walked toward the Motel 6, as if he was checking to see if that Mercedes was still there. Investigators were convinced that Steve had murdered his wife, Crystal, but they did not have enough evidence to charge him. They kept pressuring him for a confession, and eventually, Steve gave in. On September 9, 2017, Steve offered his version of what happened on August 25. He said that on that morning, Crystal arrived at his home to pick up their two children. They argued, and he became upset. He strangled Crystal from behind, wrapped her body in a blanket, placed the body in the trunk of her Mercedes, and disposed of it. Steve led the police to a wooded area off Needlepoint Road, where they found Crystal's badly decomposed body. He was arrested and charged with murder. Almost 2 years later, in June 2019, Steve went on trial, where he testified and offered a new version of his story. He claimed that on the morning of August 25, 2017, he and Crystal had sex. Afterward, they argued ferociously. Steve just wanted the fighting to stop, so he hugged Crystal. Right after this, she became unconscious and fell to the floor. Steve realized he had hugged her to death. He disposed of her body to escape responsibility. Despite his creative storytelling, Steve was found guilty of murder and sentenced to 50 years in prison. He will be eligible for parole in September 2042, when he will be 70 years old. Steve must be released by September 2067, at the age of 95. Now moving to my analysis. Even though Steve took his case to trial, he probably knew that he would be found guilty of murder. His best hope to escape responsibility had nothing to do with the verdict. Rather, he was aiming for a punishment phase mitigation, referred to as sudden passion. The idea here is that Crystal provoked the confrontation. She supplied an adequate cause that would commonly produce a degree of anger, rage, resentment, or terror in a person of ordinary temper. This would be sufficient to render the mind incapable of cool reflection. If the jury felt as though sudden passion applied in this case, Steve's sentence could have been much lighter. Instead of facing 5 to 99 years in prison, he would have faced 2 to 20 years. When pursuing sudden passion during sentencing, the burden of proof, by a preponderance of the evidence, is on the defendant. Ultimately, Steve failed to prove that he acted in a moment of sudden passion. What do I think happened in this case? This is just a theory, my opinion. Crystal's repeated infidelity led to problems in her marriage. Promiscuity was a major part of Crystal's life, something she enjoyed and was unwilling to sacrifice. She craved the excitement of having multiple sexual partners. Steve was lazy, unrealistic, and in denial. He somehow believed that, despite the cheating, Crystal was in love with him and wanted to be with him romantically. One reason he believed this was based on Crystal living with him after their divorce. This may have given him hope, like even though she rejected him, her true desire was to remarry him. Crystal wanted to reconcile, but she was showing it in a very unusual way. For instance, getting divorced and finding a new boyfriend. Steve may have believed that Crystal was just playing hard to get, and she was extremely proficient at this game. The way Steve lived his life after the divorce was consistent with this fantasy of Crystal being his lover. He continued to wear his wedding ring, and he shared posts on social media as if they were still together romantically, like bringing Crystal coffee in bed. When Crystal scheduled the cruise for the family, this sent yet another confusing signal to Steve. He thought this cruise would serve as his big opportunity to reconcile with Crystal. His plan was to propose to her while on the ship. Crystal would say yes, they would remarry and live happily ever after. This plan was jeopardized when Crystal decided to invite her new boyfriend, Paul, on the cruise with the family. Steve correctly assumed that bringing a woman's lover on a cruise is not conducive to her accepting a marriage proposal from her former husband. As if this wasn't bad enough, Crystal then rescinded Steve's invitation. She cut him right out of the equation. Steve was finally feeling the rejection, which he should have felt earlier when he divorced. His feelings had caught up to reality. On August 25, 2017, Steve confronted Crystal about her new boyfriend. He would later claim that during this confrontation, Crystal told him he was not dominant enough in the bedroom. This sent Steve into a rage, and he strangled Crystal. During his trial, his 7-year-old daughter, Maui, testified about the murder, which she witnessed 2 years earlier. Maui said that her mother and father were arguing about Crystal going with another man. Undoubtedly, this was Crystal's boyfriend, Paul. When Crystal threatened to take her children with her, Steve pushed her on a bed and said no. He put his hands over Crystal's nose and mouth. Crystal turned her head toward Maui and tried to say help. Maui said, quote, "But I couldn't hear her. She looked at me sadly," unquote. When the attack concluded, Steve told Maui to go to her bedroom and not to tell anybody. Whether Maui accurately recounted what happened or not, her story is consistent with the other evidence. Steve strangled or otherwise suffocated his wife during an argument. Crystal did not provoke him in any way that would qualify as sudden passion, but Steve did act in the heat of the moment. He did not premeditate the murder. After the murder, Steve disposed of Crystal's body. The hurricane provided him some advantages, including the disruption of law enforcement. Steve did not want to go to prison for life, but he was most afraid of the death penalty. He did not show investigators where the body was until he was provided a guarantee that the state of Texas would not pursue this punishment. After making this deal, Steve focused on reducing his prison time by pursuing the sudden passion penalty mitigation. He came up with the ridiculous story that he accidentally hugged his wife to death while trying to slow down their argument. If he had not embraced her so hard, she would still be alive today. That was Steve's big flaw. He was not a homicidal offender, rather just a man with a passion for squeezing. Those are my thoughts in the case of Crystal and Steve McDowell. Thank you so much for watching. I'll talk to you soon.